Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes, Beef Buzzing with you today with market commentator Corbett Wall talking about what business cattle producers are in just a moment. Checking in on the Beef Checkoff, joining us today, Heather Buckmaster with the Oklahoma Beef Council. Heather, you've been successful in working with other beef councils as you promote beef to U.S. consumers.
Yes, Ron. This summer, the Oklahoma Beef Council, in conjunction with other state beef councils, partnered to fund the Western States Initiative. It was a 9-week beef promotional campaign in key Western states, including California. So these six states targeted represented 63 million consumers, or nearly one-fifth of the total U.S. population. The campaign featured entertaining YouTube beef videos and Google search advertising, driving consumers to the Beef It's What's for Dinner website with the goal of inspiring consumers to choose and prepare beef. Consumers in our targeted area were served Beef It's What's for Dinner ads almost 20.4 million times. The YouTube part of the campaign generated more than 12 million video views at a cost per view of a penny.
Learn more about how your beef checkoff was working for you by going to oklabeef.org, click on Cattleman's Corner. You may have seen him on YouTube. Corbett Wall is a market commentator from the Texas Panhandle, and had the opportunity to sit down and talk with him about the cattle markets and especially these black swan events that we've lived through, the Holcomb fire of last year, the pandemic of this year.
It's been devastating, and probably what it's done more than anything is shown us how vulnerable we are as cattle producers and how narrow the outlets are for our product. Our end product is cattle, and I think that's something that we need to start looking at is we're in the cattle business. Your packers are in the beef selling business, and for many years, I would say probably for 25 or 30 years, we were in the same business. But I think as we went through these, like you say, black swan events, and we saw how there was such a disparage in what they were making compared to what we were making, in a wholly totally different margin set, that they're in their business and we're in ours, and we kind of need to take care of ourselves.
So you're taking exception to a lot of folks that are talking about that cattle producer, that ranch owner out there is in the beef business. You're saying a little bit different then.
No, he's in the cattle business. And we saw during the worst of the COVID, when it really got to be bad and we were in the panic buying and everything, when you've got packers that are making near $3,000 per head and your cattle feeder is losing about $300 per head, there's no sharing of that profit margin. You're in two different businesses. You don't. There's no mistake to be made.
How does a guy take care of himself if, you know, you take that assumption that you're producing cattle, not necessarily beef?
Well, you know, we don't see Fruit of the Loom. We don't see the cotton industry advertising for Fruit of the Loom. You know, Fruit of the Loom has to make their underwear and sell them themselves. And sure, they use cotton products. But we've got to push our industry and the health of our products. And we need to have smaller outlets, smaller regional packers, so that people that choose to pay more for product that they know where it was raised, they know where it was come from. I think they need the opportunity to be able to pay more to have that locally raised stuff. And I think we just need to use some marketing strategies to get more leverage to try to ensure the future of this business. And that's really what I talk about all the time.
So what's your thoughts right now? And, you know, obviously we've seen some recovery in this market from the really the bad stuff of March, April. But still, I know we've got a ways to go.
We do. And we're just now starting to get free of being backed up. You know, our carcasses are at all time record levels on weight. And it was just from being backed up. And I tell you what, the spokes in that wagon wheel, the cattle producer, the backgrounder, the feeder, the processor, they all have to go together. And one of those breaks, I mean, it takes a while to get it repaired. And we're just now starting to overcome that. We've got our market ready supplies kind of in check. I don't know if it's manageable yet, but they're not as heavy as they've been. And your cattle sellers are starting to get a little more leverage with the packers. And the packers, you know, they've had their struggles too, because we haven't had food service. It's pretty much just been completely shut down since the worst of the pandemic. And we're starting to see that come back around. Our exports are outstanding. If we didn't have our export business that we had, we would really been been in for a wreck. But our exports are outstanding, and your packers, it looks like they've promised a lot of product here going through the holidays and beyond. And so they're going to get fairly aggressive here, trying to keep their slaughter rates up, and hopefully we can gain some more ground on this market.
So as you've talked to, I know you've talked to a lot of individual producers. What's maybe a success story or two you've heard out there that might be a good role model or a model for some other producers on how they can survive and hopefully thrive?
I tell you what, something that we can do in Oklahoma here is we need more fall calvers. We've got a problem with everybody wanting to do things just like their grandpa did them, or their great grandpa even. And everybody, when everybody's branding the same time, turning their bulls out the same time and everything of the like, it doesn't make a lot of sense whenever people eat beef year round. And we need to smooth out that supply. And the folks that have diversified, not through a different product, but just diversified through having some fall calving and being able to sell cattle in groups at different times of the year, it really helps. It helps a lot. And you talk to these auction markets around, they don't even want any more cattle right now. I mean, in October and November, you can't choke them. There's not that many holes to stick them in, and all of those outlets are full. And so if you kind of streamline that a little bit and move that off to a different time of the year, not everybody needs to have a big, fat 600-pound balling calf to sell in October, November.
Market commentator Corbett Wall. You've got the Beef Buzz on Ron. Hey, cattle producers, if you're involved in a value-added program or interested in signing up for one, you need to check out what's available through Superior Video Livestock Auction. Superior has implemented Superior Verified, which allows producers to source and age-verify their cattle through IMI Global. Learn more about Superior's involvement with value-added programs by going to their website, superiorlivestock.com. Remember, at Superior Livestock, we bring the value-added market to you. And that's your Beef Buzz. I'm Ron Hayes.